when I got promoted into the position, that's where my vision was, and I tried to fulfill the vision that God gives me for that position.
Right.
Then if I was promoted, which all promotion comes from God,
right,
then that's where my vision would begin again for that position.
On today's Believer's Voice of Victory, Jesse Duplantis turns the tables around and interviews John Copeland about his life and walk of faith. Join them for an engaging and practical discussion about learning how to make your vision a reality.
Hello and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm John Copeland, and I'm the son of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and the CEO here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And Mom and Dad has asked me to set in this week with Brother Jesse Duplantis.
He's
such a special guest to have here and a good friend. Amen. Been ministering, you know, with Jesse's been with Mom and Dad now for
19 years. Now.
19 years. Doesn't seem that long.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
I remember when you first came home, I was like, that guy's funny. I like listening to
Amen.
Jesse.
Glory to God.
But it's been a great 20 years with Jesse, and to have him here is such an honor, and to have him on the broadcast, we're just really pleased to have him here. And if you've missed any of this week, you need to go back and watch it online, because we've been talking about vision.
Amen.
And talking about getting the vision that God has for you, how to walk that vision out, how to fulfill that vision so that you fill that void, that empty place in you, because until you're fulfilling the plan of God for your life, you're going to have that void and that empty. So I'm glad that you're here today. It's Friday, and it's always good on
Amen.
Friday.
Glory
you know,
to God.
We love Fridays. And so, Jesse, I want to thank you for coming
because
what you're sharing here is just Amen. Very, very important.
Well, you know, we started out at the beginning of the week in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to see your future if you're going to live for today. In other words, what happens is it'll cut. If you don't have a future, your life will be cut short. That's what God is saying. And then he said, make the vision plain so you can understand it. I think that's been one of the biggest cruxes, I guess, of people's lives is how do I make it plain? How do I know what to do, when to do, where to do it, how to do it? And we've been talking about that all this week. And then next week, we're going to get into some deeper things. What we want to get into today is when will you become? There's a statement in the King James Bible that says, it doth not yet appear. I want to be the host on this program, and I want to interview you.
All
okay,
right.
Just be real quickly, and let's see how this works here for a second. John Copeland, when did you realize, or did you ever realize that you would become CEO of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, not only here, but worldwide?
I think I realized it when they asked me to do it.
Was you nervous?
No, not really. You know, I was, my early history was rebellious.
Right.
Teenager, run from God, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do this at all.
Right.
I became a welder, had my own welding business when I got out of high school and enjoyed it. That's what I wanted to be.
Let me interrupt you. Why didn't you want to do this?
I think a big part of it was because I wanted to be my own man.
Right. You felt that people were putting a lot of pressure on you to be Kenneth Copeland mm-hmm. instead of John Copeland?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's
and not that you didn't love
part.
Your father. You love your father to no end, but you just wanted to be you.
Yeah, I wanted to make my own decisions.
Amen.
You know, my wife still tells me today, I hate for people to tell me what to do, you know, and I think she needs to figure out how to convince me that it's my idea, and
right.
then I want to do that. But I, you know, that's always kind of been in mm-hmm. me, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, I'd rather make my own decision. I don't want to be pressured into
right.
making a decision and doing something. And so I took that route of I started my own business, and it was interesting, though, that the welding is where I wound up coming to work. I worked summers my whole life.
Here. Right.
You know, I always worked summers for the ministry, whether it was mowing the grass or, you know, duplicating tapes or whatever it was.
Now, did you feel, because you were mowing grass and that your last name was Copeland, that you were the lower person, that you should have been given a better job than that? Did you ever feel that?
No, I was perfectly fine.
Amen.
Doing, I'd rather be known for worker, you know, mm-hmm. carrying my own weight and all
right.
that. And so, but when I, after I, my welding business, I had it for about 5 years. Then I came to work for the ministry in a construction position.
Right.
Because we were, you know, had this new property out here and we were doing a lot of building and construction. So I was using the talents that I had learned outside of welding and brought those here.
Right. Now, so let me ask you this. Did the people that was your boss or supervisor, mm-hmm. did they feel intimidated to tell John Copeland what to do?
Well, it was my uncle was the big boss.
Okay.
So he wasn't intimidated by nothing. Doug Neese was, he was very secure in who he was in his position. Now, right. I'm sure down the line, you know, there
sure.
were some people who, I'm sure I had some privileges
right.
that maybe some other people didn't have. But at the same time, I always tried to stay in a place that I was doing my job
right.
and I was doing it well so that I wasn't just coasting along. You know?
You see, you remind me of my daughter. My people used to tell my daughter all the time, are you going to be like your daddy? She said, no. I think sometimes people misunderstood Joe. No, she didn't love me, but she wanted her own destiny, her own destination. That's what you were saying. And you know what? God, John, wanted you to have your own destiny and destination. Now, at the time, you never thought you would become a CEO of this ministry. Because not only is he CEO, see, just because he can do the administrative part of it, it's wonderful. But a CEO of a ministry like this must be a spiritual man, must be able to hear the voice of God, how to direct hundreds of employees, how to direct people to the vision of the ministry, along with producing their vision for their life. You see, and what we want to talk about today in closing out, it doth not yet appear. It didn't appear to you at that time that you would ever become that because you were satisfied within yourself. You were building your own way of doing things. When did it begin to change in your life that you realized that God was now taking John like this and turning him in toward in the middle of this ministry to make him CEO?
Well, I've always, through default, I don't guess I really thought about it, but, mm-hmm. you know, I've always just taken, you know, done what I've been called to do next.
Mm-hmm.
So as I came to work here in the maintenance, you know, construction and so forth, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
But then as things were presented to me, they started moving me up twice a week to sit in the business meetings at the headquarters.
Uh-huh.
So I would have to put on, you know, nice clothes, not welding clothes, and go sit inside and sit in meetings and just learn.
Right.
And kind of hear what's going on, learn the other side of some of the ministry. I already knew a lot of it because
sure.
I've done a lot of jobs here. But as far as administration and office stuff, I didn't really care for that.
Right.
I'd rather be outside,
right.
even if it's 100 degrees here in Texas, than I had sitting in an office, you know, and I just love being outdoors. And so, you know, when they started moving me up there, then that was uncomfortable for me.
Right.
But I did what I was asked to do.
Don't you find sometimes God's visions for you are uncomfortable?
Yes.
You know, they're very uncomfortable. Yes, and that's the whole thing. When did the hunger for what you're doing today begin to take place?
Well, you know, Jesse, it's everything I've stepped into in this role. I have a high school education,
mm-hmm.
barely.
Yeah, but that's high, man. That's high. It's a high school.
Yeah. So as far as, you know, the business school and
right.
in college preparation for this, I had none. It was
mm-hmm.
just what I learned,
right.
you know, doing the work. So there has been a, particularly when there's people older than you
right.
who are experienced, who do have the college education, and now they have to report to somebody younger.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest asset that I had, I feel like here, was I know Mom and Dad's heart because I've
right.
been around them so much.
Right.
How would they handle a situation? I'm
right.
not always, I don't always get it right 100%
sure.
of the time. There's times that I'm surprised, you know, of a direction we take. But to know and understand their heart,
mm-hmm.
then I can make a decision in the business side. Because the thing about ministry, as you well know, it's not just business decisions.
That's right.
Sometimes you make decisions that are really actually bad business decisions.
Right.
Because you're stepping out in faith.
Right. It's spiritual.
Do you go add something to the budget that there's not money there to cover? Now, in business, you don't just say, okay, we're going to spend $2 million more this year in this outreach.
Unless you're the government.
Yeah, unless you're the government, then you can print more.
Yeah, just print money.
So what happens is you have to say, okay, we're going to step out in faith for that. Uh-huh. In the natural, we don't have the money to do that.
Right.
But we're going to believe God by faith, and mm-hmm. we're going to do that. Well, a bad business decision, a right spiritual decision, and a right decision to follow God's vision and mm-hmm. his plan.
I think the key to what John was saying here is it doth not yet appear. He didn't know he was becoming the CEO when you got that hunger. The whole thing is you knew your mom. You knew your father. Kind of like Jesus knew his father. He said, I came that you might know the Father. So what you're telling me is that when you begin to take on these responsibilities, you knew what your father would do. You knew what your mother would do. But also God let you think, let him think about what he would do in that decision making. So in other words, you mix John Copeland with Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland, to produce Kenneth Copeland Ministries worldwide. Am I correct in that? Mm-hmm. See, now, that's what we're saying here. For your vision and your dream to come to pass, ladies and gentlemen, you have to do what John does. You have to be close to the God that gave you the vision. He gave you that vision. You may not understand it completely. You may not understand all the particulars of how to do it. But if you know the Father, if you know God, like you knew your father, you knew what your father would do. But then, I love what you said, you have to make decisions purely upon faith. Purely. It has nothing to do with administration, business sense, or anything of that nature. In other words, God expects you to use good business tactics. Don't misunderstand.
You have to.
Yeah, because that's common sense. But he also expects you to walk and live by faith. But there were times when you would say, this is what John Copeland would do. Joel Osteen told me one time, he said, you know, my first few years of preaching, I always wore my father's shoes. And then one day he went to put his dad's shoes on to preach there in the Houston area. And the Lord said, no, put your own shoes on. It came a time. So I'm pretty sure that in this ministry now, because I know I'm on the board of directors of this ministry, I've seen you make some major decisions, not only from the business side, but also from the spiritual side. In the discussion, and when we were talking business of the ministry, that turned out to be spiritual things. You always kept your mother and father's insight correct. But I've seen the times when you stepped out as John Copeland and said, thus saith the Lord. This is what God said for us to do. Now, when you begin to do those things, you at that time, I don't think you were listening. You said you would go to meetings and you would listen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, faith come by hearing. You have to listen. Listening is one of the greatest tools to get ahead in life. If you just shut up a little bit and listen, it's amazing what you could do. I want to ask you this. What did those meetings develop in you other than the normal what it takes to do a business? You were being developed to not only hear them or hear your supervisor, but to hear the voice of God. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, and to understand people.
Yeah.
I mean, in ministry and in business, the understanding of people mm-hmm. and the way they function, what makes their pushes their buttons.
Right.
Because communication, you know, as we talked about a few days ago, communication is paramount.
Right.
You got to be able to hear God, and you have to be able to listen to God and follow his plans. Well, communication in ministry and business is one of the most sure. important things, because you can have the best idea in the world. God give you a vision, yeah. but if you can't communicate that vision,
it doesn't work.
People can't run with it.
Well, it goes back to that verse, make the vision plain. Now, as you begin to step in to those areas here at Kenneth Copeland Mission, you weren't trying to define Kenneth Copeland. You were defining, if I understand you correctly, Kenneth Copeland's ministry for the future. And, you know, y'all doing some family meetings now, and I'm really excited about that. You said the next generation. Not that this generation is dead. No. What happens is it's a furthest. Every man's work, in my opinion, must be a continuation. Now, you may do it different. You may preach it different. You may even say it different. But the central theme of what God called this ministry to do is never changes. It's the same yesterday.
Principles are the
today.
Same.
Right.
And that's what we've talked about here. You know, as I came up through the ministry, I never sought promotion.
Right.
You know, we talked about getting ahead of God and so forth.
Now, that's an amazing thing because most people seek promotion, but you didn't.
My plan and vision was never, okay, how can I move up to that next step?
Right.
How can I get promoted up as a director or as
right.
CEO? My deal was when I got promoted into a position, that's where my vision was, and I tried to fulfill the vision that mm-hmm. God gives me for that position.
Right.
Then if I was promoted, which all promotion comes from God.
Right.
Then that's where my vision would begin again for that mm-hmm. position. Now, that position leads to vision for the ministry and,
right.
you know, business sure. planning and ideas and so forth. And so I think, you know, as we're looking at the next generation coming, mm-hmm. and we're, like you said, you don't change the principles.
Right.
The day that we quit using the principles Ooh. That mom and dad have built this ministry on with God, then that's the day we lose track.
Right.
And collapse. You've seen it. A lot of denominations
yes,
have started that way. They'd started by a move of God happened, mm-hmm. maybe through a man or through, you know, a ministry or whatever, but a move of God happened. But then over time, those principles changed due to man's influence.
Right.
And you don't even recognize
right.
a lot of stuff they believed back then. That same denomination doesn't even believe now.
Yes.
The thing that built the denomination.
Well, you know, if you think about that, a lot of people don't realize that Harvard and Yale started out as Bible colleges. Bible colleges, ladies and gentlemen. Now, these are great, great colleges of learning here in America. But if you look at its beginnings, it's really went far from its beginning. I'm not being critical of that, just being truthful of it, see? And what I love about you and the ministry here is that you keep the principles that God gave your mother and father to build the foundation on. But then also in those principles, God is adding extra things because God never changes, but people do. Like in your family meetings, it doth not yet appear. I asked you a while ago off camera, what are y'all going to do in those meetings? What are we going to do there? Well, it's going to be totally unique and different. That's why I tell people when you see these family meetings take place, you need to come to those because you see God's doing a new thing. Glory to God. A new order. So it's going to be exciting. And I told my daughter years ago, I said, you can never be Jesse Duplantis. Never can be. But you can be Jody Duplantis Walker. You can be who you are. Now, my influence may be on you and your father and mother's influences is on you and this ministry. But also I find that you're also directing this ministry in paths that God has spoken to you to take it for the next generation and the next generation.
Well, you know, God doesn't change, like you said, but his methods change. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, 20, let's say 15 years ago, who would have thought that the Internet would be one of the best tools for ministry that are out there?
Right.
We just didn't have that technology.
Right.
And now technology changes so fast. What's current last week is going to be old next week.
Right.
When you look at who would have thought that text messaging on cell phones would be a ministry tool?
Right.
Who would have thought you could watch the broadcast on your telephone?
Right.
You know, Twittering.
Right.
What, you name it. I mean, all the stuff that you're using today. So if we stayed in the way that we did it 30 years ago and delivered the message, then we'd be completely out of touch with what the way people communicate today.
But the message always stays the same, but sometimes the messenger does it in a different manner, in a different mm-hmm. way. I find, to add to that, people, when they want to work for me, I ask them why they want to work. When I used to hire people, I don't do that anymore. Now I have people that do that. But I noticed I wanted to hire people like God hired people, John. So I looked in the Old Testament, and God hired shepherds. Everybody he did. Moses was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. I mean, everybody was shepherds. But then I said, well, certainly when Jesus hired for his staff for the Jesus of Nazareth Evangelistic Association, mm-hmm. I thought he would hire shepherds. He didn't. He hired fishermen. And I thought, and business people, if you think about on his board.
Tax collector.
Yeah. And I thought, why? Because in the Old Testament, Israel needed leading and guiding, which is a shepherd does. But in the New Testament, the world needs catching. The world, God says, go to the world and preach the gospel. So you have to have tax collectors. You have to have, you know, fishermen, all these different things. I see that's what you're doing and you're bringing to this ministry is that newness. And not that the old is bad because the old is phenomenal. That's not the issue. But what happens is what I love about your mother and father, they're behind you 100% and they're not pulling back. They're pushing forward. And many of you that are watching today that are partners to this ministry, all of you beginning to see what is happening here. And it's a wonderful thing. That doesn't mean Brother Copeland's gone, because Brother Copeland, as far as I'm concerned, will never be gone.
No.
It can't be.
And, you know, you think about just in their ministry in the last 40 years, how much it changed from the time they started mm-hmm. to where we're at today mm-hmm. of, you know, their ministry has changed and evolved all the way along there. The delivery, how you deliver it, you know, the television, the internet, and all those things that change it. And it's just a continual change. But their vision is going to go on
forever.
Should the Lord tarry?
That's right.
It's going to go on for generation to generation.
Well, I spoke to your mom and dad last night, and I said, you know, I ought to preach sermons on the sayings of Kenneth Copeland. Now, people make it, you know, why? Because some of those sayings literally transformed my life, not for today, but for the future, ladies and gentlemen, for the future, because things will change out there. But you, when you hear the prophet of God, and it's coming through. I find now that Christian preachers are becoming, and some of y'all may get mad at this when I say this, are becoming like the Jewish prophets. They're beginning to say, thus saith the Lord God. It's one thing I love about your father. And still today, he will say, thus saith the Lord God. Now, you, and I've learned something about your mom and dad. When God says that, there's no change in it because that's settled. But it may be put in a different way of getting it over to people. And that's what I love about it. But we're talking today on Friday about it doth not yet appear. And see, John didn't know that. He was just interested in being a welder. He wanted his own business, wanted all this. But you see, it did not yet appear. But appearance was coming, John. That's the whole key, what I'm trying to get to here at the end of this program. Appearance was coming. God would manifest himself inside of you. And you said, you sounded like Moses. You know, I only got a high school education. You know, I don't have a business degree. I didn't have anything to do with any of that stuff. And Moses said, I'm slow of speech. It made no difference. What's going to happen is God was about ready to appear to the nation of Israel. I believe this day, this Friday, God is about ready to appear to you through this ministry, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, that your dream will go way. Something that was so complex in your mind will become easy and simple.
Well, just think about when you were a rocker.
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate brown hair.
Chocolate brown. I was one weird boy.
And you were, he was out there now. I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah, I was out there.
We'll get a picture and we'll put it up for you. Yeah. And so, but you would have never dreamed
a billion
that
years.
You would go from that to where you're at today.
That's right.
And who knows where it's going to go the next 30 years.
That's right.
But what you did was, things started happening. First of all, you got saved.
Got saved.
And then it was just a step-by-step progression that God brought you to this place. And that's one of the things I want to encourage you guys about in television land out there is that you don't have to get under pressure about the plan of God for your life.
That's good.
One thing God is not, he is not pressure. And so when you start feeling pressure, whether it's from fear or whatever, that's not God.
That's right.
So what you need to do is don't feel pressure about, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know the vision. Like Jesse said earlier in the week, get in your prayer closet, pray, listen, which is one of the biggest parts.
That's the key.
And then just follow it step by step. Whatever God says do, you do it. And you will fulfill. If you do that, you will fulfill what God's called you to do in your life, just following it step by step by step. It's really not that hard, is it?
It's not. You become satisfied. It's a wonderful thing to be satisfied. It's kind of like when you're hungry. I mean, you can eat through a wall, but once that food hits that stomach, I don't know, that peace of God or that, and then you really enjoy your life. So, ladies and gentlemen, your tomorrow is going to be much better than your today. You mark my words.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Are you tempted to walk in fear because of today's uncertain times? God's plan for you does not include fear. Help is coming your way. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland are sending their family to help you. Come to the Copeland Family Meetings with George and Terry Pearsons, Steve and Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons. The first one will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, August 27th through 29th at the Midwest Airlines Arena. Then later in the year, they're headed to Orlando, Florida, December 3rd through 5th for another meeting at the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. Generations of powerful ministry will share God's word to bolster your faith. Come be refreshed, renewed, and healed. Get into the blessing in action. 3 days, 6 services, 1 divine appointment. Don't miss the Copeland Family Meetings, August 27th through 29th and December 3rd through 5th. Admission is free. For more information, go to kcm.org.
I want to encourage you to come to these family meetings, man. They're going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be different. You know, everyone speaking, God has put a different anointing on their life, just like we've been talking about this week, that there's different anointings for everybody. Nobody's the same. And so you're going to hear some very different messages from each one of them. But I'm not going to be surprised when the Holy Ghost just pulls them all right together for the end. So this is Friday. Friday is offering day, and the Lord instructed my dad years ago that Friday was going to be offering day.
Amen.
And so we want to give you the opportunity to be a part of this ministry, to be a part of what's going on here. And if this ministry has been a blessing to you at all, if the, you know, the things you're receiving have been a blessing, then you should pray about, you know, does the Lord want me to support this? I know that He wants you to support something somewhere.
That's right.
I mean, God's, that's the way God does
That's right.
it. Seed time and harvest, didn't it, Jesse?
As, well, the Bible says in the book of Galatians, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all. That means if we can do good to all, that means we must have some substance to be able to do good to all. But then he added this, comma, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is the household of faith. It was through their ministry that I came to the knowledge of really what the Bible meant. So I could understand it. Because all my life, John, you know, I used to say, well, you know, you can't understand the Bible. You know, you let the priests interpret that. But I realized through your mother and father's teaching, they begin to open up a door into my mind to where I could receive and understand the things of God. It is offering day for one reason. Like the movie, we're going to make an offer you can't refuse. When you receive and give an offering to this ministry, I know this ministry. I know it. I've been here many, many years. What is it doing? It's reaching people. It's changing lives. It's bringing great encouragement where there's much discouragement. It's bringing healing where there's great sickness. It's doing things that people never thought could be done in their lives. And I'm telling you, I say this, and I have my own ministry, but I say this for Brother Sister Copeland and Kenneth Copeland Ministries. There's not a place I've ever been, that's not an exaggeration, that Kenneth Copeland's partners didn't come up to me and say, Brother Jesse, tell Brother and Sister Copeland I said hi. Well, it's people like you that are making a difference in the world. And you know what? This ministry doesn't beg for money. My God, this ministry believes and gets the word of God out. But it's our responsibility. And I put myself in that also, not just you. It's our responsibility to support it financially. Because you see, if you support something financially, you really mean you love it. I call it Christian philanthropy. Be a blessing today to KCM. You'll have an opportunity. There'll be things coming up on the screen. You'll show how, where to give it and how to give it. And John, I turn it back to you to close it because I know in just a minute we're going to say Jesus is Lord. But they have an opportunity today to be a blessing to the world.
Hey, we want to thank you for helping us make a difference in the world. And Jesse and I want to tell you thank you and remind you that we love you and that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase a copy of this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Let God's glory shine in your life at the 2009 Southwest Believers Convention. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar August 3rd to the 8th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. With Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for ages 13 through 18, there's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.